Welcome to episode 15 of Spanish History 101, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. This episode, the Kingdom of Asturias. Spain, in 756 AD, is a land that is compromised, in a compromised position. The Muslims arrived 50 years earlier and have consolidated their position under Abdurrahman I. And the land is known as the Emirate of Cordoba, more informally, Al-Andalus. So, after losing most of the Iberian Peninsula in just a handful of years, the Christian survivors, so to speak, of this onslaught have moved up into the north and have rather quickly reorganized and initially pushed back the invaders. King Alfonso I of Asturias was the most successful during these early years, and thanks to his efforts, the northern third of the peninsula was more or less under non-Muslim control. Now, what were these lands? Well, they weren't unified in any real sense, other than that they didn't appreciate the presence of the Moors for a number of reasons, religion being just one of them. They were kingdoms for the most part, the Kingdom of Asturias, the Kingdom of Navarre, and then there's this sort of strip of land, a territory south of the Pyrenees known as the Spanish March, and that belonged to the Kingdom of the Franks up in France. After some initial success at keeping the Muslims in check, their efforts kind of stalled. This was a period when the Kingdom of Asturias reached its height. This land didn't really start out as a kingdom, but rather as a mountainous land which traditionally resisted the presence of outsiders. The Romans struggled constantly to subject them to their will and probably never really fully did control them, and the Germanic tribes fared little better. The Muslims could be fierce and very effective warriors, but naturally they had little experience with military operations in that kind of terrain. And who wouldn't? Because we are not talking about any ordinary mountainous terrain. We are talking about very steep mountains. It's beautiful up there, I tell you, but basically you're either going uphill or downhill. In any event, the first leader we mentioned in previous podcasts, his name was Pelayo. We won't call him a king because that's not really what his title was. But according to legend, he repelled the Muslims at the famous Battle of Covadonga, which took place somewhere around 718, 720, 722 AD. No one really knows for sure. Then he carried on for a few more years until he died and his son Fávila took over, but he was soon killed officially by a bear during a hunt. Now, the likelihood of this being true is remote, so therefore this sort of heroic sounding death is suspect, but who knows. Anyway, Pelayo's daughter, her name was Ermesinda, married a man named Alfonso, who became Alfonso I, and this Alfonso proceeds to push the Moors back out of the north and northwestern parts of modern Spain. His eldest son, Fruela, F-R-U-E-L-A, ascended to the throne after him and consolidated Asturias' position. In addition to his military conquests, he also founded the beautiful city of Oviedo, which is the current capital of Asturias. Lovely city, well worth the visit. Not only did he keep the Moors at bay, but he also quelled revolts by the Basques and the Galicians on each side of the kingdom. His early triumphs, however, contrasted with failures later on in his life. He had his brother killed, an act which would trigger a plot against his life. He was assassinated by his own lords. Then for a few decades, little else happened, as there was a sort of a number of minor monarchs who reigned with little success. So not much really happened then. Part of this has to do with the lack of effective leadership during those final decades of the 8th century. And part of this has to do with the fact that there were geographical complications. You see, once you move south of the Cantabrian Mountains, there's this large section of Spain which opens up into this wide plain, this huge plain. And it's an expanse called the Meseta. Mobility is easier there, but defending that land can be much more difficult. And on top of that, the regions had suffered from a period of depopulation, which probably started all the way back during the decline of the Roman Empire. And then there was a breakdown in the infrastructure and numerous invasions. And all of that sort of made living there practically unviable. The lack of hometowns, and more importantly, defendable towns, would have slowed progress. In any event, in 791, Alfonso II became king after successfully removing any and all opposition. He had actually become king in 783, about 10 years earlier, but he was ousted by a rival named Maragatus, who, according to legend, had made a pact with the Muslims so that they would support his cause. This sort of thing happened all the time, believe it or not. Anyway, he did this, according to legend, as I said, in exchange for 100 Christian maidens as annual tribute. Now, this story is considered to be probably totally untrue, but from a propaganda perspective, it certainly made him look bad. He died a few years later, and then he was succeeded by another king named Bermudo the First, and that didn't last very long either, and then Alfonso II was back on top. Now, Alfonso II was the king during one of the most significant events to occur during medieval times in Spain. And we are talking about the discovery of the tomb of St. James the Greater, one of Jesus's apostles, and the one who supposedly evangelized Hispania. He made it Christian. That is considered to be untrue, as is the veracity of the discovery of the bones in Galicia. Now, just how they arrived there, supposedly, as well as the rest of the story about Santiago de Compostela, and the Camino de Santiago, will be addressed in another podcast. The point is, the discovery of this tomb had massive ramifications, which have carried on to this day. And much of it has to do with the fact that Alfonso II supported, and one might even say exploited, this item of news, this rumor, in order to build a sense of purpose for the Christian cause. And not only were they trying to get rid of the Moors, but they were trying to save sacred land. And this obscure location in Galicia had suddenly turned into one of the holiest places in Christianity. Alfonso died in 842, making his reign over 50 years long. Now, he was known as Alfonso the Chaste, because he didn't have any children. Now, the next king was Ramiro the First, who was actually the son of the king before Alfonso, 50 years before Bermudo the First. And hardly had he kicked things off as king when some unexpected visitors arrived. We are talking about the Vikings, of all people. They had moved along the northern coast of Spain, from the north of France, and stopped along Coruña in Galicia, where they hoped to find treasure in the lighthouse, this famous lighthouse known as the Tower of Hercules. Not only did the Norsemen not cash in, but they were subsequently defeated by Ramiro's troops and forced to move elsewhere. Ramiro would try to initiate a repopulation of the land south of Asturias, like the city of León, but success was short-lived, and much of that population was forced to head back north to escape the arrival of the Muslims. Once again, these things were going back and forth. Ramiro, who had actually become king when he was 50, a very late age for that period, did not live very long. In 850, just a few years later, his son Ordoño took over, and this was notable because this was the first time a king of Asturias was named, by way of inheritance, basically for hereditary reasons. Up until then, leaders were elected, which doesn't mean they couldn't be the son of the king. It just wasn't automatic. Ordoño the First ruled for 16 fairly complicated years. He had clashes with the Basques, fights with the Galicians, with the Navarrans. He had run-ins with the Muslims to the southeast and then to the south. He was fairly successful with all this fighting, but we can hardly say it was a quiet time. In any event, he did resume the process of repopulating the abandoned land, this meseta that I was telling you about, and cities like León, Astorga, and Tuy were occupied and fortified. He apparently died of gout at the age of 45. His son, Alfonso, the third Alfonso that we've mentioned, took over in 866, and he would go on to be known as Alfonso the Great. His reign would last until 910, so that's a long period, some 45 years, and he would continue to push Asturias's interests further south, making inroads, especially along the coast of what is now Portugal. And yet, despite all this success, he also had to contend with rivals from his own kingdom. These problems were constantly happening, and by the end of his reign, he actually had his three sons rising up against him for reasons that are not quite fully understood. No matter what, the result was a breakdown in the stability of the kingdom, and in fact, Asturias sort of was broken up into three different kingdoms. One was Galicia in the northwest, which was originally under Asturian control, but now was separate. And then you had Asturias, which was on its final leg, basically. And the last one was León, a new sort of upstart region, which would take over as the next major power in that part of Spain. Alfonso's youngest son, Fruela III, would reign as the final king of Asturias until 926, when he died, probably of leprosy. With his death, the kingdom of Asturias would disappear. Although, on a side note, I don't think that officially happened from an administrative point of view until the 19th century. But effectively, it was no longer a kingdom. And León would take over, and with it, a new phase in Spanish history. And we'll pause right there for today. I think that's a good place to stop. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and Castos. If you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, click on our Pen Pal donate button. Or if you wish to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.